Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Our action-packed April rolls on tonight, highlighted by a special NBA 75th anniversary season telecast of the Nets and Knicks on ESPN and ESPN2. Major League Baseball's opening day is tomorrow. We'll have Reds and Braves at 8 Eastern on ESPN2 and ESPN Deportes. Our ABC Saturday NHL matinee has the Caps taking on the Pens. And Saturday night UFC 273 features two title fights. What do we not have for you this month? Unbelievable. Meanwhile, on planet Earth is brought to you by Whole Foods Market. And this is a thing that I can't do. This is CFL Edmonton Elks receiver Shea Ross doing a backflip while holding a barbell. What are we doing?
Why?
This is not part of your workout routine?
Like,
what the heck is the point of this? I mean, listen, it's impressive,
for us to be talking about it on GetUp, obviously.
This is dumb.
It does not seem to mimic anything he might have to do on the football field. Anyway, welcome back to GetUp. We're coming to you live from the Seaport, brought to you by Chase. And it is time to get up with the NBA's biggest disappointment. What happened to the Lakers? Where do they go from here? We are looking for answers. Plus, if you think Tom Brady is not motivated, think again. Why he is calling his 23rd season his greatest challenge yet. Speaking of challenges, the fact that Tiger Woods is even walking Augusta National feels incredible. Could he actually win another Masters? We're talking about all that, but we are going to start in the NBA with our game of the night. LeBron James sitting out as the Lakers take on the Suns, and it would not go well for the Lakers. About halfway through the first, the Suns down three. Jay Crowder throws the lob to Devin Booker. Pay attention, this is a play the Suns really liked last night. Suns now down one. In the second quarter, they're up by two. Chris Paul lobs it to DeAndre Ayton. Suns now up five at halftime. Early in the third quarter, the Suns are up six. Booker, contested three, no problem. Puts the Suns up nine. He would end up with 32 points. Later in the third, they're up by 12. We got another lob. Booker throwing it up to DeAndre Ayton. Throws it down. Nice pass to set up Ayton. Suns doing pretty much anything they wanted. They're up 14 at that point. Ayton finished with 22. Under 4 minutes left, they're up by 22. Booker throws ahead to Chris Paul. Lobs it to Mikal Bridges for the slam. Everybody's dunking. Suns win by 11. It's their franchise record 63rd win. Lakers eliminated from the playoffs and not happy.
Extremely disappointed. You know, disappointed for our fan base. Disappointed for the Bus family. You know, who gave us all this opportunity. And, you know, we want to play our part in bringing success to Laker basketball. And, you know, we fell short.
It's obviously disappointing on many levels, but ain't much you can do about it at this point.
I truly think that we could have done something special. You know, Bron and myself, you know, mainly me, were healthy for the entire season.
Just how bad has this been? The Lakers are 4-17 since the All-Star break. That is the second worst win percentage in the entire league, ahead of only the Blazers. It's also on pace to be the lowest post-All-Star break win percentage in Lakers franchise history. So the Lakers making history, but the wrong kind, and now they are left making postseason, off-season plans. Brian Windhorst and Zach Lowe join us now. Brian, given the expectations coming into the year, what can you say about this season and how disappointing it's actually been?
Can you believe what you just showed? Four and 17. I mean, it's a disappointment because the Lakers organization thought this was going to be a title year. Ownership thought it. Rob Pelinka, the general manager, thought it. LeBron thought it. Anthony Davis thought it. and it obviously hasn't been anywhere close. The reality is that even when this team was healthy, they weren't that good. When Russell Westbrook, Anthony Davis, and LeBron played together, it was only 21 games. They were 11-10. You know, even with this team together and healthy, I think they're a middling playoff team. And that's really the cold, sobering fact, is that this isn't something that is the result of injury. This is a result of a poorly constructed roster that has very little chance of improving. And that is what is going, what they are facing right now. They knew for a while this wasn't going to be a championship team. The fact that they are a downright bad basketball team, as we sit here, 17 games under 500, likely headed for 50 losses, that is a humongous disappointment.
Yeah, Zach, I mean, it's one thing to not be a championship team. That was a highlight reel full of air balls that we just watched. Were you caught off guard by how bad this got?
The middling playoff teams in the Western Conference are like 14 games over 500. The Lakers are at risk of falling below the Kings. The Kings, who are not exactly trying to win like gangbusters down the stretch of the season. This is maybe, probably, the single most disappointing single season team in the history of the NBA. The other candidates for that designation, like the Steve Nash, Dwight Howard Lakers that everyone pokes fun at, oh, this is gonna be fun, that team, they made the playoffs. The Nets, the year they traded for Paul Pierce and Kevin Garnett and had all that hype and are considered a big disappointment, they made the second round. The Lakers are 17 games under 500. They couldn't outlast the Spurs, who traded their second best player at the trade deadline. They couldn't outlast the Pelicans, who have gotten zero from Zion Williamson all season. It's really, actually, when you sit back and look at the wreckage of it, it's actually kind of incredible, even if your expectations were kind of dim on them from the start.
So, yeah, we all agree that this season was a complete catastrophe. But, Brian, when you look ahead now to the off season, what stands out to you is in terms of what they need to do and what their priorities need to be?
Yeah, so this is the issue with the Russell Westbrook trade. It's not just that it didn't work out. It's that it didn't work out and totally blew apart their chances to do anything else. I'm not even sure they're going to be able to re-sign Malik Monk, who was the only free agent they signed this last year who ended up having a good season. They functionally aren't really going to be able to massively improve. And so that's why I'm going to instruct you. A date we're going to be talking about a lot over the summer, Dan, that's August 4th. That is when LeBron James is eligible to extend his contract. He can add 2 years to his deal if he chooses. The Lakers have June and July to figure out their coaching situation, how they retrofit their roster. But if LeBron isn't interested in extending, if he's not sure about where this team is going long term, I don't know what the consequences of that are going to be.
Well, Zach, what could the consequences of that be?
Well, first, the consequences are they're going to send a top 10 pick in the draft, likely, to the New Orleans Pelicans. That's how bad this season is. The Pelicans, they thought they might get good picks in like 2026 or 2027. They're getting a lottery pick, or Memphis will get it, depending on what happens. It could be a top 10 pick. It could be even better than that. It's unprotected. It's incredible. The consequences for the offseason, like Wendy said, we'll see what they do. They're going to have two first-round picks, 2027 and 2029, to play with. They still have Taylor Horton Tucker, maybe Kendrick Nunn, the kind of things they tried to trade at the trade deadline with an extra pick. The Russ contract, it's just going to be really tough to move. I just don't see a market for him outside of maybe Houston if they revisit the John Wall-Russell Westbrook swap with draft picks going to Houston in exchange, because I just don't really see a market for Westbrook. But they're going to try. They're going to turn over every stone, because I think LeBron and AD and the internal belief there is if we reorient the team, we can still win.
I mean, look, on a day when Laker fans have to be feeling it can't get any worse, not detecting a ton of optimism from our guys about the Lakers offseason either. So we will pay close attention to that as it unfolds. Thank you, gentlemen. We're going to go now to football, where Tom Brady, who will turn 45 years old in August, is entering his 23rd year in the NFL. And as we speak, his all-time number one target, tight end Rob Gronkowski, remains uncommitted to his own football future. Take a look at what Gronk told TMZ Sports. He said, if I started catching some passes, that my head would have started turning like, oh crap, I gotta get back out on the field. And right now, I'm not ready to get back out on that field. I'm not ready to commit to the game of football right now. So that doesn't mean he won't eventually be. It's only April, early April, so he doesn't really have to commit right now. But Dan Orlovsky, what would it mean to Tom Brady and the Buccaneers if Gronk decides he doesn't want to play anymore?
Well, then they don't close the gap this offseason in relation to the Los Angeles Rams. I think Gronk and going back to the Bucs is that big a deal. And I don't think that there's anything else that really matters for this football team from this moment until the season that's bigger than is Gronk going to play. Listen, down in the red zone in Tom Brady's time in Tampa Bay, he's thrown for 48 touchdowns and zero interceptions with Gronk on the field. I'll say that again. In the red zone, 48 touchdowns and zero interceptions with Gronk on the field down in the red zone. That's huge. So to sit here and say Rob Gronkowski not being a part of their football team isn't that big a deal, and I know Booger said that in the 8 o'clock hour, and I know he's not on in the 9 o'clock hour, I think he's stinking crazy. In 12 games last year, he almost had 1,000 yards. So not only is Gronk an integral part for the red zone pass game-wise, but he's such a big deal for their run game. We know that Chris Godwin's not going to be healthy. We're talking about an offense right now that without Gronk really has one big-time playmaker at the receiver or pass-catching position. That's Mike Evans. Chris Godwin won't be healthy really till November. Russell Gage comes on. He's going to be a important part, but not a dominant part. That's why I think that without Gronk, they don't close the gap to the Los Angeles Rams, and I think everybody in this NFC gets closer to them.
Kimberly, a year ago, the story was, hey, the Super Bowl champion Bucks are bringing back everybody.
Yep.
That is not the story. Brady coming back is big, but how do you size them up in the NFC?
You know, the first hour, my point was, there's something about Tom Brady. He defies logic. And I listened to my buddy Dan Orlovsky with his little Tiger shirt talking about Tiger and how much I love Tiger and he's going to win and I know I'm so excited. Like, there are guys like Tiger, like Tom Brady, that conventional wisdom, logic, it's completely irrelevant because they are special. So right. While we're talking about the roster, it's not the same from a year ago. You know, I was at that Rams-Bucks game where it was Leonard Fournette and Mike Evans trying to will this, and Tom Brady trying to will this offense against the Rams, and they fell very short, right? This team, I think if you're going to say that this Bucks team could go on a run, it could be in contention for a Super Bowl, they could get all these pieces. I think you have to at least say that Tom Brady is the glue. And he's somebody that, despite conventional wisdom, you have to put him in the early conversation for MVP because he defies logic. What you think should happen does not happen with Tom Brady, and that's what makes him special. But go ahead, talk about Tiger, how tomorrow, oh, I can't wait to see Tiger. Yeah, he's going to win it all. Yeah, because I love Tiger.
We'll get to Tiger in a later mm-hmm. segment. Listen, I agree with you that he's the glue, and I anticipate Gronk playing this year. But to believe that the Bucs are on the same level without Rob Gronkowski as the Los Angeles Rams, no.
Okay.
To believe that Tom Brady is as on the same MVP level without Gronk as it is with Josh Allen and Joe Burrow and Patrick Mahomes and Lamar Jackson and Justin Herbert and Russell Wilson, I don't see that. This is a guy that had 55 catches and 800 yards in 12 games last year. This is going to be a very different offense. Can they win the Super Bowl if he comes back? Yes. Can they win the Super Bowl if he doesn't come back? No.
All right. So we'll pay close attention to Rob Gronkowski's free agency and his retirement decision could have a major impact on the upcoming NFL season. When we come back, though, we're going to talk about the draft a little bit more. Kenny Pickett and Malik Willis not only impressing NFL talent evaluators, but they almost made Dan Orlovsky say a naughty word. We'll explain that when we come back. And it's been 25 years, really, since Tiger Woods won his first Masters. We look back at a ride that has been anything but smooth.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code PARLAY. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
If you watch our show or almost any show on this network, you know that Dan Orlovsky likes to say words. But there are certain words that he will never say. And in that spirit, we introduce a brand new called Holy. This is going to be three plays that made Dan Orlovsky say holy fudge. And I'm not kidding. That's what he says with some of the top quarterbacks in this draft. Dan, start with Desmond Ridder.
Yeah, speak the right way, Graziano. Desmond Ridder, the things that I love about him, the ownership of the line of scrimmage and his ability to know exactly where to go with the football. Look how early he cuts this ball loose on this in-breaking route to that dropping defender. We call that throwing it off the ear hole of a helmet from a defender. That is a single bar of fudge. This ball is perfectly thrown at the right time, at the right pace, at the right location. Absolutely spectacular. Now we'll go to Kenny Pickett from Pitt. Now, Kenny Pickett, this is the type of play that reminds me, and this is why I reference him to being a young Tony Romo. In the pocket, everything chaos around him. He breaks out athletic enough to go create, and then this ball that gets ripped across his body. This is one of those plays that you get taught as a quarterback. Don't do unless you can. And this is two bars of holy fudge. I'm talking Seattle City, down at the shore, fudge bars, and absolutely rip a ball across his body. But there's only one guy in this draft that makes me say it three times, and that's Malik Willis. I want everyone to just watch this play. Drift in the pocket. This ball leaves his hand from the 13-yard line and gets absolutely launched down to the 30-yard line. We're talking 55 almost yards in the air of drifting to the left, launching that ball to good coverage, and it's an absolutely perfect throw. This is a holy fudge type of throw. Three bars by Malik Willis. An absolutely lights out throw, and you see the talent from him. That play defines the type of talented athlete and talented quarterback Malik Willis is.
Orlovsky taking us down the Jersey Shore for some pre-summer preview there on the fudge and the saltwater.
Oh, what up, RC?
Good stuff.
What up, RC? You're on the show. What's up?
Now it's a party. We're going to start with Mel, though. Mel, hey, look, we've heard a lot about these quarterbacks. And it doesn't sound like everybody's too excited about them, but if there's a day one star, like a guy you could draft and plug in right away to start week one, 2022, who's that guy?
That would be Kenny Pickett. And I'll talk about Mac Jones last year, but Pickett with a 49 career starts, being a 24-year-old rookie in the NFL this year, coming out of that Mark Whipple-led offense. Mark's now with the Nebraska Cornhuskers, but they did a great job developing and coaching Kenny Pickett. Put him in that system where it could thrive this year. Came into the year as a fifth rounder, goes now maybe into the top 10. Carolina, you want somebody to compete with Sam Darnold right away, it would be Pickett. If you want the best quarterback on talent, and I go into the history and you learn from the history in the draft, Justin Herbert, Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen. They weren't considered necessarily NFL ready right away, but they had the most talent. And the most talent will win out. And for Malik Willis in this draft, he's the most talented quarterback. That's why I have him slightly ahead of Kenny Pickett on the draft board.
RC, what do you think about that idea of Pickett as a day one starter in Carolina, for example?
Well, I think when you watch Kenny Pickett's entire career, you don't feel like he's a day one starter in the NFL. But we have to go back to the last two drafts, and you think about a guy like Joe Burrow, who wasn't highly touted coming into his last season and ends up being number one overall pick. Matt Jones as well, somebody who climbed the rankings and the charts and the draft spots, ended up being picked at 15 and had a very successful rookie year. You can kind of feel some of the same things with Kenny Pickett, a dude who didn't really kill it for his first few years in the league, but was absolutely phenomenal in his last year at Pitt. He made every single throw that you had to make. And we've spoken about Malik Willis's ability to move and improv, but Kenny Pickett has a little bit of that as well. Do I believe Kenny Pickett's a star? Hell no, I don't believe that. Do I even know how much of an upgrade he could be over Sam Darnold? Absolutely not. But if you're the Carolina Panthers and you're totally out on starting Sam Darnold and you're going to pick one of these quarterbacks from this class, guys that can compete right away, start right away, and give you some consistency. I do believe that guy is Kenny Pickett, but I believe the price tag at number six is way too high for a dude that might already be at his ceiling.
Yeah,
that's
where I am, and I completely agree. Okay, so there's so much to unpack here. First of all, I think there's one quarterback in this class that at least has the talent for you to say, I can take you in the first round, and that's Malik Willis. I don't think there's any quarterback that you sit here and go, you know, 3 or 4 years from now, he's going to be a type of player you sit back and go, we passed on him? Like, we passed on that guy? But Malik Willis has that, at least the uncoachable traits, and I've always said, for me to take you early in the first round at that position, you gotta have some physical talent or uncoachable trait that makes me go, I can't pass on you. And I'll coach some of the other flaws or deficiencies in your game out of you. But Malik Willis is the only guy. And here's my thing. I've never understood this, and I want to ask Mel this a little bit. I don't get why front offices use the phrase, I want this guy. He's the most NFL ready. Like, Mel, agree with me or disagree with me. I'm not taking you in the first round to start your week one and be like, wow, we're great. I'm taking you in the first round to be like, I'm good for a decade, 12 years plus. Like, you may not be ready to start. I was ready to go start in the NFL when I left UConn. I was a fifth round pick, and I was a backup most of my career because I couldn't do things physically that other people could. And I think that's the difference. Like, Desmond Ridder, I would say he can go start week one. I just don't know how great he can be. And Malik Willis at least has some of those traits where I go, I don't know if I can pass on this guy, because if I'm wrong, I'm going to regret it.
Mel, what do you think?
Dan, I hate the term. I just obviously to answer Dan's question, guys, I hate the term. And I've said it last year. I said it all throughout this year. Hate that term, most NFL ready. It makes no sense to me. It's about coaching guys. And guys that you think are a little raw or need to be tweaked are ultimately going to develop. Josh Allen was considered that guy. Look where he is right now. Consider where some of the guys that went ahead of him are. Look where Herbert is. Considering the guys ahead of him, where are they? So same thing with Lamar Jackson. So I'm with you, Dan, 100%. That term, the most NFL ready, should be thrown in the trash can.
Kimberly, real quick, the team that keeps getting brought up is Carolina, sitting there at six. What are you hearing about their quarterback situation?
It's not good, Dan. It's not good. And I covered them last year. They could have gotten a quarterback last year.
Expert analysis.
And they didn't. Now you have an impatient owner, you've got a head coach on a hot seat, and you've got Sam Darnold, a guy that they say they believe in, but they're going to look to upgrade.
See, all right, a little more than 3 weeks away, as we mentioned, from finding out what Carolina and a number of other teams are going to do in that first round. We come back, though, more basketball. It was a big night in Brooklyn. Kyrie Irving had his best home game yet, and the Nets took a big step forward. We will tell you why, but first, sneaky hembo time. This one is for Zach Lowe, who we are told is out for revenge. Question, Zach, what is the only team with four different players that have scored 40 points in a game in the NBA this season? Four different guys. Think on it. We'll be back.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
Back on Get Up with Sneaky Hembo for Zach Lowe. Zach, this is the question. What is the only team with four players who have scored 40 points in a game this season?
I got a bad feeling about this. I don't like this. I feel stumped. I'm going to go off the beaten path. I know Gary Trent had a 40-point game. I have faith that Siakam did and Van Vliet did. So maybe OG Anunoby had a random 40-point game, and it's the Toronto Raptors.
Ooh. As you can tell by the shot of cackling Hembo there, you're incorrect. I don't know. We got Brian Windhorst. You have a guess here?
I wish I could steal, but I'm gonna only say the Nets because of Harden, Durant, and Kyrie, and I hope there's a fourth. It's probably too easy. He probably wouldn't do that.
Now, it's not the Nets either.
OKC.
It's not Oklahoma City, which is Jay Williams' guess. It is the New York Knicks.
What?
Yes. What? Julius Randle, RJ Barrett, Evan Fournier, and Kemba Walker each had one.
Sneaky.
That is why they call him Sneaky Hembo. Speaking of 40-point games, we had a few last night in the NBA. We're going to run the floor now with Jay Williams on some big performances in the NBA last night. Let's start with Joel Embiid, who scored 45 in the 76ers' win over the Pacers. Jay Will, is this the MVP?
I still have Jokic as my MVP. I think Joel Embiid, at the end of the day, is giving a great performance. Even though Jokic and the Denver Nuggets lost the other night, I think the PER, the way he's played, he is the bona fide MVP.
MVP race coming to a head here in the final weeks. Next, we head to Chicago, where DeMar DeRozan had 40, but the Bulls lost to the Bucks, 127 to 106. Jay, are the Bucks the favorite to win the East?
It's not even a question. I know Miami is ranked the number one team in the Eastern Conference right now, but I am willing to go on record and say that Giannis is the best player in the world, and the team that is built around him is the best team in the Eastern Conference.
Hard to argue the way Milwaukee's going right now. We had one more 40-point game. Kyrie Irving dropped 42 on the Rockets as Brooklyn snapped a two-game losing streak with a 118-105 win over Houston. Kevin Durant had 18 with 9 rebounds and 7 assists in that Nets win, which moved Brooklyn up to the number 8 seed, which is very important. If you understand how this play-in tournament works, gives them two opportunities if they finish there to advance out of the play-in instead of just one. And despite not having a playoff spot clinched yet, the Nets still have the second shortest odds to win the East, according to Caesars Sportsbook. So that's interesting. A team that may have to play its way into the playoffs is the number 2 favorite in the conference. What does Vegas know that we don't?
That they have Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving, two guys that are two of the most prolific scorers the game of basketball has ever seen. Look, according to the seedings right now, I think the Nets would have a legitimate chance to beat the Miami Heat. They would probably be considered favorites going into that matchup in the playoffs. I don't believe they would beat the Boston Celtics. And if you look at over the last several games, even in this last month, Jason Tatum dropped 54 in them. Giannis dropped 44. Luka dropped 37. Trae Young, 36. Even in their last game last night against the Houston Rockets, Kevin Porter had 30-plus. Jalen Green had 30-plus. It still felt like it came down to the wire. So Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, I think the prolific scoring of the Boston Celtics combined with their defense, even not even having Robert Williams, I don't think they would be favored to beat the Boston Celtics.
Right. So, I mean, defense obviously a big issue for Brooklyn. I don't know if anybody remembers, but at the trade deadline, they acquired a guy that was a really good defensive player whose name is Ben Simmons, still has not participated in any of their games. Brian Windhorst, is there any expectation that Ben Simmons will be able to join the Nets in the postseason?
I can only imagine Jimmy Butler hearing Jay Williams saying that they're favorites. That's the favorites over the Heat, sipping big face coffee right now, Jay. But so officially, Ben Simmons is out for the rest of the season and the play-in tournament. Unofficially, behind the scenes, the Nets have not ruled him out for the postseason, and they believe if he could ramp up, that if they play in maybe a conference finals 4.5-5 weeks from now, that if he clears all the hurdles that he could play. So we still could see him out there. Is it realistic? That's a different story. He hasn't been able to consistently play in a year now. And so it's not impossible, but I wouldn't bet on it.
Zach, how badly do they need him if they do advance to the postseason?
I think they need him if they really want to make a run to get through the East. I think the Nets, like Jay Williams said, with Kyrie and KD, you got a shot to win almost any playoff series, maybe with the exception of Milwaukee, who I agree is the favorite in the East. But winning one playoff series is a different animal than winning 3 or 4, which is what the Nets' goal was before the season and what their goal still is if you ask their star players. I think they need Ben Simmons to do that, particularly with Seth Curry's ankle issues on again, off again. I'm not sure this team, as great as those two guys are, winning 3 playoff series in the East, which has been a good conference this year, that's a tall order.
The Nets season obviously not turning out the way they had expected, but at least they're in the play-in tournament. The Lakers, I don't know if you heard, Jay, were eliminated from postseason contention last night. That season has been a complete catastrophe. We've talked about that a little bit on the air today. What's your take on the Lakers and where they go from here?
It is the most disappointing season, I think, in sports history. I'm not talking about Lakers history, sports history. We were supposed to have a finals matchup of the Lakers versus the Nets. You have three guys on this team. We have five Hall of Famers. We have three guys who are actively kind of similar, close to in their prime. And I'm not saying LeBron James 37, but he's still in the MVP conversation, right? So coming into the season, the fact that they've gone through so much, it's completely a disappointment, the biggest one in sports history. I don't know where they go from here because cap-wise, it feels like they're stuck. Mm-hmm. It does. And for Russell Westbrook, who could be the highest paid player in the NBA next season, you can't move that contract. Anthony Davis, we always say, well, when he's healthy, when is the biggest operative word in that statement? I don't know when he's healthy. Played 39 games this year, 36 games last year. So, look, the question comes down to, will LeBron James want to be able to go somewhere else if he doesn't see a winning measure or formula in LA? But I don't think he can go anywhere else because I think people will build a narrative that he's running away from a team facing the challenges that essentially he might have created.
A little bit of time left here. Brian, do you think the Lakers can retool and become a championship contender in one off season?
I don't think they can retool. I think their only hope is that they can somehow be healthier and better and maybe win 10 or 12 more games and be a play-in or back-end playoff team next year.
Oh!
Doesn't sound good. Zach?
Can he still be below 500 with winning 10 or 12 more games? That's right. What you're saying.
Wouldn't even get him back there. Zach, your thoughts?
Tall order, if only because I don't know how we can reasonably expect LeBron to get healthier as he gets older, as he enters an unprecedented level of minutes for a player of his age and stature. I just think we shouldn't assume that he ever plays more than 60, 65 games in a season. Again, Anthony Davis will see. So I think championship contention next year is going to be a very high bar to pass.
Sounding grim for Lakers fans. Fortunately, it's early out there. Maybe they're not up yet and not being depressed by our guys talking about the Lakers. Thank you, guys. We have a special NBA Wednesday doubleheader for you tonight in celebration of the NBA's 75th anniversary season. We'll have a traditional Nets-Knicks broadcast at 7:30 Eastern on ESPN. And on ESPN2, they're going to have a version that showcases the NBA television graphic styles of the 1960s, 70s, 80s, and 90s up to the present day, including the classic theme music by era, with special guests joining the broadcast. After that one, the Suns and the Clippers square off. All this starts at 7 Eastern with NBA Countdown. Back to football now, where the New England Patriots are coming off a playoff season behind rookie quarterback Mac Jones, but some are convinced they might be taking a step back this season, in large part because the offensive coaching staff is inexperienced, to say the least, after the departure of offensive coordinator Josh McDaniels, who's now the Raiders head coach. Bill Belichick's offensive coaching staff includes Matt Patricia, Joe Judge, tight ends coach Nick Cayley, and receivers coach Troy Brown. Judge has 1 year of experience coaching offense in the NFL. He was the receivers coach in 2019 in addition to his special teams duties. That's before he went off to be the head coach of the Giants. So he's back in New England now. Matt Patricia back in New England now. These are guys that Bill Belichick trusts a great deal as coaches. But how worried, Dan Orlovsky, should Patriots fans be about Mac Jones and this offense?
Highly. For me, this is probably the most concerning thing that I have in the whole NFL right now. I mean, there are a lot of things that are incredibly important to a young quarterback, a second-year quarterback. One of, if not the most important, is have that same voice in your ear on a consistent basis. That guy that you're talking football to on a daily basis to help your development. A guy that can sit there and tell you what's real and what's not. Well, a guy that can sit there and tell you how they're seeing the game, what's going on, the feel of that, the development, the growth, all that stuff. You look at some of the young quarterbacks that have really ascended in their second or third years. Look at who they've had in their ear when it comes to the consistency. Patrick Mahomes, Eric Bieniemy, and Mike Kafka. Lamar Jackson had Greg Roman, but then James Urban, their quarterback coach. Joe Burrow's got Brian Callahan, their offensive coordinator, and Zach Taylor. Josh Allen has had Ken Dorsey and Brian Dable. Like, these guys have had these offensive-minded guys that have been around the NFL in that kind of role, and there's been a consistency of that. That's no mistake that those guys took those jumps. And now we have Mac Jones, and think about this. Like, Mac Jones gets Matt Patricia, who is a, I guess, failed defensive mind in the NFL, and he gets Joe Judge, who's a failed special teams mind. Like, that is massive, a massive issue for me.
RC, how big a deal is this?
I think it's a huge deal. I mean, also, you got to look at what the offseason is supposed to be. The offseason is supposed to be an opportunity to go back and see the things that you did wrong and now start to progress on those things while mastering the offense that you'll run during the season. And listen, I've never called plays. I've never been on the sideline with the big old paper in front of my face acting like people are trying to read my lips. But here's what I know. Understanding and diagramming play design is a science, right? There's a science to it. You have to understand how to attack teams schematically, how they will approach you, the different things they'll try to change and adjust. But making those calls on the sideline, that's an art, right? Mm-hmm. It's an art because you have to be able to feel it. Sometimes the numbers may be telling you one thing, but you have to understand the flow of the game, understand what position you're in, understand the way that your quarterback is behaving on the sideline, get his body language, know which players on your team can make those plays. These are dudes that have failed, and they failed supposedly being experts in the things they're experts in. They don't know no offense.
Right.
And listen, I trust Bill Belichick more than I trust any head coach in football. I know that he's a guy that makes the right decisions, but this isn't the right one. If the New England Patriots don't sort this out, we could be seeing Mac take a step backwards from a guy who we felt was very pro-ready last year. And if he takes that step backwards and now he has to lean more on his natural skill set physically, I believe the New England Patriots can finish at the bottom, yes, be even behind the Jets in the AFC East.
Yeah,
this
I agree.
It's a big deal. I mean, we've been talking about this a little bit this week, but it's worth watching as the offseason goes along and as the season starts, how the Patriots put it together post Josh McDaniels. We come back, though, we're going to talk more golf. 25 years ago, Tiger Woods was a 21-year-old who was destined for greatness. He did realize that potential, but fame came with a lot more.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
A quarter of a century. That's how long it's been since Tiger Woods first won the Masters. In the 2.5 decades that followed, much has been revealed about the golf legend, mostly how human he is. As you watch Tiger this morning out there at Augusta on a practice round, our Wright Thompson looks back and ahead.
Tiger has worn many faces in the 25 years since he won his first Masters. Phenom, son, pitch man, champion, ambassador, warrior. Husband, ex-husband.
I am deeply sorry.
Yesterday's star, a memory, a ghost, a specter. Never able to escape what he used to be, never able to be it again. A bad golfer, a bad driver,
the leg injury that he experienced
a fighter, pain sufferer, pain overcomer, father, and finally, once more, champion.
The return to glory.
Along the way, he has made the rarest journey in American public life, moving all the way along an arc from doer of unimaginable deeds to a relatable champion.
not because any of us could endure for so long, but because in his endurance lies a flicker of our shared humanity, maybe reflecting the best of what it means to be a person on our spinning rock.
You see here, 10:34 a.m. Thursday, tomorrow, is when Tiger Woods is slated to begin his 2022 Masters. He'll be joined by Louis Oosthuizen, whose best Augusta finish was second in 2012, and Joaquin Niemann, who won the 2022 Genesis Invitational back in February. That's the tournament that Tiger hosts. And here's Tiger this morning out at Augusta playing a practice round. He said yesterday that he was going to try and play, obviously 14 months removed from a car accident that almost cost him his right leg. And pretty impressive comeback to even be out there walking around. I know our guys, Booger and Dan Orlovsky, were pretty excited talking about this last hour. Booger's since left to get, the house ready for the Tiger thing. We got RC here, we got Orlovsky, we got Kimberly Martin. Dan, I know you have some thoughts on this. Were you watching Tiger out there, thinking about him playing the Masters tomorrow? What's going through your head?
That I was supposed to have a tee time tomorrow, right around 10 o'clock, and I canceled it once I found out that Tiger was going to be playing. Because there's probably not a more important thing for me to do outside of time with my family than to watch Tiger Woods play. He's my favorite athlete of all time. He's the most dominant athlete of my generation. I was one of those people when Tiger was going through those down years that I honestly believed he would win again. I just believe in his greatness. And even since the car accident, I always thought like he would play again. Hearing the conversation this week of how well he played, like I had heard that he played his Monday practice round with Justin Thomas, who's one of the farthest ball strikers on tour, one of the best ball strikers on tour, and was hitting it just as good and just as far. That's when I got really excited that, okay, he might play and he might be able to play well. And then obviously he announces he's going to play and then answers the question that gets asked to him, do you think you can win? And he doesn't hesitate and says, I do. That just gets the hair on the back of my neck standing up. I cannot wait for tomorrow. I love the fact that he pops off early in the morning. That's going to give him a big break. I put money on him to make the cut. I put money on him to win. I would not be shocked by either.
RC, this do anything for you?
Well, I mean, absolutely does. I mean, I'm not changing my plans like Dan is. I also don't golf, and in not golfing, also didn't watch golf before Tiger Woods. And even when Tiger Woods isn't playing, I'm not paying attention to it. Tiger Woods was the only reason I ever tuned in to watch golf, and I think I'm excited just to have him back out there. Tiger Woods has had to deal with a ton of adversities that no one, even including himself, could have seen when he was a 21-year-old man out there with other grown men, showing that he was the most dominant athlete in the world. And now just to come back from that leg injury 14 months ago, from that accident that could have taken his life, only shows a different level of greatness for Tiger Woods. He's shown us throughout the last few years that he is extremely human. What he is on the golf course wasn't human, and now coming back out, this isn't as well. And I'm with Dan. If he wins, I will not be surprised.
Just him being in the mix is going to be sick, dude. Like, this is how it's going to go. He's going to play tomorrow. He'll probably shoot somewhere around even par, like maybe one under.
Prediction day.
Somewhere around there. Okay, so then there's going to be a little bit more intrigue. And then Friday's going to come, and the weather will be okay, and he's going to kind of recover from the walk on Thursday, and he'll shoot like three under on Friday to get to right around three or four under going into Saturday. And then Saturday's moving day, and Tiger's going to start to push down a little pressure on all the young players, and he's going to get into the top 10, top eight for Sunday. And then Sunday is just going to be stupid good on the back nine, because Tiger on Sunday in contention is as good a sporting high as that there is in all of sports. And that's exactly what's, I don't know if he's going to win, but I will bet like embarrassment on national television, which might happen to me on a daily basis, that Tiger will be in the conversation on Sunday. It's going to happen. I'm wearing a freaking shirt.
So you're wearing a shirt. Obviously, he's got to do it. I'm like RC. I'm not big into golf. I've never played.
I understand what
Tiger represents culturally for a lot of people who look like me. But I hope to be spending time at home with my family instead of watching Tiger. But what we love about sports as a storyteller the arc of his life, the arc of his career. These are the moments that we tune in for. These are the moments why they're special, because when you see athletes have those human moments, have those lows and have those moments of resilience and elation, that is what makes sports so amazing. So while this is a golf story, I think it transcends when you watch the greatest of all time in their respective sports do what they do. It is special to see.
Absolutely well said. And we will be paying attention. This afternoon, though, we're going to be paying attention to the par 3 contest at Augusta. That is on ESPN Plus at noon Eastern today. And it's going to be on ESPN and the app at 3. So you can watch it work. Don't tell your boss I said that, but you can watch anywhere you want on the app, obviously. So enjoy that. When we come back, though, LeBron and the Lakers, their season will end in days and huge changes seem inevitable. What will happen in L.A.? Molly, Christopher Russo, and Stephen A. Smith discuss on First Take after Get Up.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Get Up is brought to you by Hulu's original series, Woke. All new season streaming April 8th only on Hulu. We want to finish with this. We showed this earlier. It's Edmonton Elks receiver Shay Ross doing a workout with a barbell. And this
was Orlovsky getting ready for Tiger. This is what Orlovsky's like at home. Like, Tiger. Yeah, Tiger. Right?
That'll
throwing all that
like
weight
10,
around.
That'll be at me at like 10:08. Look at my guy. He knows how dumb this is.
Bro, that is so stupid. And like, I know people are going to think it's impressive. It's one of the dumber things. And also something that means absolutely nothing. So you can flip with a barbell. Who the hell cares? First off,
they're
it's light. That's not even
it.
A lot of
that's
kilograms. And you're just flipping to show people that you can actually flip. We know you can flip. We've probably seen you flip before. So now you want to flip with a barbell on film for other people. Why? Because people do stupid stuff. And that is stupid. I'm not buying into it. Y'all shouldn't have showed it on TV.
That's my guy.
That's my guy.
Thanks for joining us on Get Up. It's been fun. First Take is coming up next.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
Throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.